Well, I'd like for you to turn to 2 Kings, if you will. And I'd like to ask you a question today. You know, the Lord Jesus asked a lot of questions. And sometimes he would answer a question with a question. In fact, there's a chapter in Mark, I was reading it just the other day, where Jesus asked 9 questions in a row. And sometimes a question can really make you think. And I was asked a question back in March, and it was in a meeting we were in down in Alabama. And it was right at the beginning of March. Now, how's this for a good title? The name of that meeting was March On. Right at the beginning of March, it was a preacher's meeting. And this man got up, and I'm sure some of you may know him or know of him, J.R. McDonald. Do you know him from, used to be Calvary's Boys Ranch in Oklahoma. And his dad was Jerry McDonald. And Brother J.R. got up and preached in this meeting, and he asked this question. I told him, I've let him know, I said, "Brother, that thought that you gave, I'm not just preaching your message, but I can't get away from that thought because it actually did something to me, something good in my life. And I hope that this question will do something for you today." It may, it kind of set me back on my heels a little bit when he asked the question. And you say, "What in the world is it?" Well, I got to set the table first, all right? Let me set the table and then I'll serve you the question, all right? But first, let's turn here to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. How many could say today, "I remember a question that absolutely changed my whole life"? Can anybody say that today? I remember, now I know you won't raise your hand because I might say, "What was the question?" But now you ladies, what about when he said, "Will you marry me?" Didn't that change your whole life? And some of you said, "No." Some of you might say, "Nah, that didn't change. I knew he was going to ask anyway." But there are questions, and I've been asked some of them that really made me think. And so let's read here in 2 Kings chapter number 2. And you know this story well. I'm sure your pastor and others have preached on this many times. And it's Elijah and Elisha. And God has already notified Elijah in some way that it's time for him to go to heaven. And you know what? Elisha knows it too. Elisha knows that the man that he has been working for, he's been an assistant pastor to this great man, Elijah. And so Elisha knows it too. And he's not the only one. Others knew it. Others knew that Elijah was going to heaven on this day. Let's read a little bit here in chapter number 2. "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, 'Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel.' And Elisha said unto him, 'As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.' So they went down to Bethel." That's determination there. Notice he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." He won't leave the man of God. Can I say to you today, don't leave the man of God. Don't leave the man of God. You know what? He may get up and say something you don't like. He may get up and say something that you don't agree with. I've had 4 pastors, and I have not had a pastor that I agreed with on everything. Could I say that to you today? I've had pastors, great men, great, every one of them great men. Now my son-in-law is my pastor, and I sure don't agree with him. I'm kidding. Pray for me, would you? My son-in-law is my pastor. But you know, he's a great man. God gives him ideas, and I tell people, our pastor, he does this all the time. He jumps off a cliff and expects God to catch him. We just had this enormous, magnificent Christmas play at our church. And it used to be we'd show it 3 times. Then it went to 4, then 5. Now we're showing it 10 times. 10 times. And we fill the church up. I mean, sometimes they're in there like sardines. Sometimes there's a little more room. But the church is basically filled 10 times. In a town of 7,000 people. People come from everywhere. And lost people will come and see that. And then he comes out and gives them the gospel. That thing has grown and grown and grown. I don't even want to tell you how much it costs now to put that on. We've got fog machines. We've got light machines. We've got all these things. We've got people coming out of the ceiling. And used to be they had this old contraption they'd come down on. And they replaced that with a new system. And always something new. And I don't want to tell you how much it costs, but it's tens of thousands. And we come up on that every year, and that money has to come in, and somehow it comes in. But I thank the Lord for my pastor, all of them, but I've never had a pastor that I agreed with on everything. But you know what? I thank God. I may disagree on one or two things, but what about the 100 things that I agree on? What about maybe the 1,000 things that he says that are right and absolutely right and things that I need to hear? And just because he may get up and say one thing, some people, that's enough to leave the church because they say, I disagree with that. Now, if it's doctrine, if it's a major doctrine, that's one thing. But my friend, if it's just a difference of opinion, stay with the man of God. And this, here's a man, he's determined. I'm going to stay with this man of God that the Lord has brought into my life. And so you know the story. Then the next place, Elijah is going to Jericho. And he says, stay here. And Elisha said, no, I'm not staying here. I'm going with you. And then the next place down in verse 6 is Jordan. He said, the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, you stay here. And he said, no, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And you know the story how Elijah took his mantle and he hit that river of Jordan with that mantle and it parted. And they walked across not on muddy ground. They walked across on dry ground. When God does something, he does it right. Amen. Amen. And so they go across on dry ground. And they get to the other side, and verse number 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. That was the requirement for him to get his request for that double portion. He said, you have to see it. You have to see me when I go away. And the Bible says plainly, he saw it. Now, on my way to this question, you know, I'm kind of, the older I get, you know, the more I'll be reading a scripture like this and all these thoughts. Brother Larry Brown would say, I've got thoughts going through my mind like a covey of quail. And I have that sometimes. These thoughts just coming and going and coming and going. You can't preach them all. You got to stay on track. But, you know, here's a man of God. And he said, ask what you will, and it shall be so unto thee. And then he's taken up in this chariot of fire. What a way to go to heaven. But have you ever thought about this? I don't know how long it was before this. Elijah, this same man, had asked God to take his life while he was depressed and sitting under a juniper tree. And you know what? God did not answer that prayer. Have you ever prayed a prayer and later on you think, I'm glad God didn't answer that prayer?
Right.
Amen. No doubt, if you thought about it, everybody in here, you'd be glad that God did not answer that prayer. God had something better in mind. So don't get discouraged if you don't get your prayer answered. There's a song out there. My wife said we ought to learn it. A greater yes. You know, we pray a prayer and we want God to say yes, but he doesn't answer. He doesn't come right away. He doesn't do what we ask him to do. He may have a greater yes. He may be intending to do something far beyond what we ask or think. So don't get upset if you don't get your prayer answered. God may have something better in mind. And here's a man now going to heaven in a chariot of fire. Now here's my question. Here is my question today that I'd like to ask you. Notice in verse number 9 that when he said, ask what you will, that Elisha said, I want a double portion of thy spirit. I want you to notice that he did not say, I want a double portion of the Holy Spirit. He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. Now here's my question. Does anybody want to be like you?
That's good. Right.
Does anybody want to be like you? When J.R. McDonald's asked that question, the pastor of the church, Jerry Gibson, Maury Gibson's son down in Alabama, he told me later, he said, when he asked that question, he could have stopped right then.
Right.
He could have given an invitation right then. He said, it hit me. And I said, it hit me. And I'm thinking if it hit both of us, maybe it would hit everybody. Does anybody want to be like you? That's an important question. And it's really something to think about, because no matter who you are today, there's somebody following you. Some of you have children and they're following you. You men have a wife and God has told that wife to follow you. She has no other choice. If she wants to be right with God, she has no other choice but to submit to her husband. And when I say that, I always want to say to the men, what kind of a husband does she have to submit to? You've got children following you. Some of you have grandchildren following you. You say, well, my children are grown. What about the grandchildren?
Amen.
What about them? They're watching you.
Right.
Does anybody want to be like you? Do they see something in your life that would make them want to be like you? I mean, even people that you, some of you men, people that you work with.
Right.
My father-in-law was a man of God. He went to heaven last December. And at 90 years old, he was a man of God. My father-in-law pastored a church down in Cannleton, Indiana, where I got saved. Many people were saved there. And pastored that church over 50 years. But he was also bivocational. That church never got very big. And, you know, he was from the mountains of Tennessee, where if you pastored a church, you also worked a job. And he did that. He was a maintenance man. But you know what? He didn't just preach and minister in the church. He was a preacher and a minister in that aluminum plant where he was a maintenance man. And he witnessed to those men. And he tells one story that I just can't I can't get away from. When he first went to work in that place, the word got out, a preacher is coming to work here. And some of those hardened sinners, they didn't want a preacher coming to work with them. You know what? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And they didn't want him there. So the foreman came in and introduced him. Said, here's Cletus Garrett. And he's going to be working with you in maintenance. And all those men just stared at him, didn't say a word, didn't say hello, didn't welcome him, nothing. But they did do this. They looked at one another and they said, are we going to do what we said we'd do? Yeah. They got out pornography pictures and put them up on the wall, plastered them on the walls all around the locker room. and thought, well, maybe that'll drive him away. You know, that night, it was a night shift. They went out, and they would go out by pairs to do their maintenance work. And the man that he went with would not say a word to him. He wouldn't teach him anything. He wouldn't show him how to do anything. And Brother Garrett just went along, you know, and watched this man and pitched in wherever he could. The next night, same thing. A different man went with him and wouldn't say anything to him, not friendly, wouldn't show him anything. So after a few nights of that, Brother Garrett said he was driving, my father-in-law now, said he was driving into work, and he said, I'm just going to quit. I can't live like this. I can't work in an environment like this. I'll just quit. And the Lord said to him, he said this now, God impressed on his mind, you can whip those men. Now, in his younger days, my father-in-law was a fighter. And from what I've read and my wife wrote his life story, you didn't want to mess with him. But he could fight in the mountains of Tennessee, Alvin York country. You know how Alvin York knew how to fight. And he knew, from a distance, he knew Alvin York. But he said, you can whip those men, and gave him a plan. So that night, he went out with one of those men out on the job. And that night, he said, you know, last night I worked with, I don't know what his name was, Bob. He said, I worked with old Bob and said, boy, he's a good worker. I'm telling you, he knows what he's doing. I learned a lot just watching him. And all through the night, he would brag on the guy that he was with the night before. The next night, he went out with another guy to work. And all during the night, he'd say, you know, last night I was out with Sam and he was out on the job with him. And I learned a lot just watching him. He's a good worker. And so he would do that every night. You know, after a while, the men would gather and they'd say, I'll take the preacher tonight. And they went out. And, you know, one by one, they would come and apologize to him. And some of them got saved. Amen. One man that he worked with, he boasted. He said, I'm the world's greatest liar. I mean, he could tell whoppers, and he designated himself as the world's greatest liar, and he would boast about that. But you know, one day the world's greatest liar got stricken with some kind of an illness or a disease of some kind, found himself in the hospital, and he was facing a very, very serious surgery. And you know who he called for? He called for my father-in-law. And my father-in-law went to the hospital, walked in his room, and here's what he said. He said, I'm getting ready to have surgery. I may not make it. I need what you've got. Amen. And they, lying in that hospital bed, he got salvation. Amen. My father-in-law told him about salvation, but I'm sure he had already told him. And he got saved, and guess what? He didn't make it. He didn't make it through the surgery. But thank God he got to go to heaven. Amen. Because he saw Jesus in somebody's life. Amen. Does anybody want to be like you? What did Elisha see in Elijah? What did he see? Well, we all know one thing. He saw the power of God. That's for sure. Elijah had the power of God. He called fire down from heaven. And he had the mind of God. He could pray and God would answer him. And he's the one that went to old wicked King Ahab and said, it will not rain upon the earth until I say so. And brought that whole land under conviction of sin, and then had that showdown on Mount Carmel and called the fire down from heaven, and the people of God said, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord. They turned away from Baal and they turned back to Jehovah because of that great miracle. Then he had all the prophets of Baal killed. What a man of God that he was. And I don't know everything that Elisha saw in Elijah, but he saw that boldness. He saw that courage. But I believe he also saw a great love in Elijah. Elijah loved God. He honestly loved God. And do you know, my friend, if you truly love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, you will love others. I mean, it'll just come natural. If you love God like you should, old Lester Roloff used to say, love up and love out. But you got to love up before you can really love out and love people. And if your love for God's not right, you'll never love people like you should. You won't even love your wife or your husband or your children like you should until your love for God is right. And Elijah, remember, he loved God so much he was jealous for God. He was jealous when he went into that cave and God said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I'm jealous for you, God." He said, "I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left who's serving you. Everybody's departed from you." And remember, God said, "You're not the only one. You're not the only one." And I want to remind you today, you're not the only one either. And though we've been in some churches that really do need life support, we have been in some churches that are alive and well. You know one of them? Is White River Baptist Church. My wife, we look on the calendar, and when I see White River, I mean, it's almost like the 4th of July, going to White River at Christmas time. We go in there, and a group meets you at the door, shaking hands, and then, boy, they amen. Now, you're not going to let White River outdo you today in amens, are you? I'm just asking, all right? But, boy, they can say amen. I call it the White River Amens, and I love that church. There are some churches out there, and I know that church came because of this church, and I thank God for that. But what did he see? I believe he saw joy. I think he saw joy in Elijah. You say, "I don't think of Elijah as a real happy man." But I'm telling you, my friend, I believe he was.
Yes, sir.
I believe, and now he got riled up, no doubt about it. He'd get riled up about some things, and we ought to too.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Praise God, we should. But I believe he had joy. Here's why. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy presence. And he lived in the presence of God. And I believe he had that joy of the Lord that you could see it demonstrated in his life. We don't find everything that he said and everything that he did. We find some of the miracles here. But here's a man named Elisha. He said, "Elijah, I want what you've got. In fact, I want a double portion of what you've got." Does anybody want to be like you? My pastor said, former pastor Larry Brown said that an evangelist stood up in our church, Marion Avenue Baptist Church. An evangelist stood up and he made this statement. He said, "My mother almost sent me to hell." What a statement. He went on to explain, my mother was a Christian and she was a churchgoer and she was faithful. But she had no joy. She had no joy. And she was a downer. She was depressed. And as a boy, I looked at that and I thought, I don't want to be like that. If that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be like that. What a statement. My mother almost sent me to hell. You know, the Bible talks about a joyful mother of children. A joyful mother. Is that you today? Is that you today? Are you a joyful mother of children? Can your children look at you and think, "Man, I want what mama's got. I want." What about you, Dad? Are you an old sourpuss going around griping all the time and like a black cloud, dark clouds hanging over your head all the time? Or do you have some joy? Do your children come to the window and just wait, can't wait for Dad to come home? Do they want what you've got? Does anybody want to be like you? What a question. I don't know if that question's working on you or not, but I texted Brother J.R. McDonald just the other day, and I said, God is using that one question. And he texted back and he said, "I ask myself that question all the time." And it's a good one to consider. You know, it's a matter of influence. Influence. You find a character in the Bible named Lot. And the nephew of the great man Abraham. And you find Abraham, he went around, he built altars and he worshiped God. Everywhere he went, he'd build an altar and he'd worship God. He was a man of faith. He was called the friend of God. And Lot was with him. But remember when they separated? Remember when they had that separation because the land was not big enough to contain all of their cattle. And so Abraham said, you go one way and I'll go the other way. And Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Lot headed down towards Sodom. Lot, after he separated from Abraham, he went down, 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 down to a place of absolute disgrace, unspeakable sin in that man's life. But while he was with Abraham, he was doing all right. You know what Lot's problem was? And I got to give credit here to Brother Larry Brown, because he preached this message. Where are you plugged in? Lot was plugged into Abraham. Right. Lot was not plugged into God. And when they separated, Lot went down.
Right.
Lot was a parasite Christian. He was just living on somebody else's religion, somebody else's walk with God. I want to ask you today, and you might say, duh, I'm sitting here in Sunday school. Don't you think I'm spiritual? No, you can be in church every time the doors are open and not really have a walk with God. Not really have a genuine walk with God where you, every day of your life, you read your Bible and you get something out of it. And you spend some time in prayer, alone with God in prayer, and you really have an audience with the Lord Himself. It's called a walk with God. Do you have that? And you know what happened to Lot? He lost all of his influence. Remember when the angels came and they said, we're going to destroy this city. Get your family out of this city. And Lot went out into the city. He had married children out there. He had married daughters. They had homes of their own. And when Lot went out to warn them, they didn't believe him. They laughed at him. This is crazy. Beat us. We're not going anywhere. We're staying right here. Lot had no influence because of the life that he lived. His children didn't want to be like him. They didn't even want to listen to what he said. Does anybody want to be like you? You know, I could take you to another place. I don't know that I have time to do that. I don't believe I do. But remember David and his mighty men? I could take you to a place over in 1 Samuel, but we won't go there today. I've only got about 3 or 4 minutes left here. But I could go to a place in 1 Samuel where David was on the run from Saul. Not only Saul was the king, he was David's father-in-law. And he was out to kill David, and David is running. And he goes into a cave called the Cave of Adullam. And you know, the Bible says that his family came down to that place, and 400 men gathered themselves to David at that place. And we all know that grew to 600, David's personal army. Now here was David in a cave. His headquarters is a cave. And 400 men and his family, his brothers, his family come down to be with him. They wanted to be with him. And you know what? I think deep down in their heart, they wanted to be like him. They wanted what David had. I mean, they sure weren't following him because he had a palace or because he had a mansion. He didn't have a lot of money. He didn't have a lot of wealth at that time, but he had God. Amen. He had a walk with God, and they all wanted to be with him. Now, you know, the greatest thing is if we could be like Jesus. If we could be like Jesus, I guarantee you there'd be some people who'd want to be like you. If they could see Jesus in your life. And let's bow our heads, and why don't we pray today, and let's just ask the Lord. Amen. You know, Curtis Hudson used to pray and say, Lord, the Bible says I'll be like you someday. We know that we will be like him, it says in 1 John. But Lord, I'd like to be like you now. Before I get to heaven, I would like to be like you, dear Jesus, so that I could draw people to you and help others along the way. Father, I pray today that you'd take this message, this simple question, I pray you'd lodge it in our hearts and we'd not get away from it, Lord. I pray that we all might think about this. Does anybody want to be like me? And Lord, help us to be like you. Help us to be like Paul, who said, follow me as I follow Christ. Oh God, may you change our lives today. May none of us feel like today I've arrived. I'm as good a Christian as I can be. God, help us if we ever think like that. Help us to realize how frail we are. We're just flesh. Lord, you remember that we are dust. But thank God we've been saved. Thank God for the Holy Spirit inside us. We have something that Elijah did not have. We had the Holy Spirit of God living inside us. We have the full Word of God. Elijah didn't have that. Lord, help us to be all that we should be. In Jesus' name, amen.